You're listening to Taste for Truth Weight Loss Encouragement. I'm your host, Barb Raveling.
Hello, everyone. It's so good to have all of you here. I am excited about today's interview with Heather Creekmore. But before I get started, I just wanted to let you know that I am going to be taking a two-month break on podcasting over the summer. So I'll have one more episode on the Christian Habits podcast that will be on how to renew your mind. And then this will be the last episode for a couple months on the Taste for Truth podcast. So I'll be starting up again in August, taking June and July off, and hoping that you guys will have a really great summer and get to have a little bit of extra time to do some fun things. And I'm hoping that for me too. So that's why I'm taking this little podcast break. Okay, well, let's get to today's podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the podcast. It's so good to have all of you here. And I'm excited with my guest today. It's Heather Creekmore. And Heather writes and speaks hope to thousands of women each week, inspiring them to stop comparing, start living. Her first book, Compared to Who, encourages women to uncover the spiritual root of body image issues and find freedom. And her new release, The Burden of Better, offers women a journey into the depths of God's grace to find a way off the treadmill of constant comparison, which you guys know we all need to get off that treadmill, right? Heather's been featured on all kinds of shows, including Fox News, but she's recognized most for her appearance as a contestant on the Netflix hit show, Nailed It. Heather and her fighter pilot turned pastor husband, Eric, have four children, and they live in Austin, Texas. Welcome to the podcast, Heather.
It's great to be here with you, Barb.
It's good to have you. Well, I know you talk a lot about body image, and you talk about something called the body image idol. What is that?
Oh, Barb, when I discovered the body image idol, that's when, truthfully, my life changed. I was raised in a Christian home. I went to Christian schools. Following Jesus was just part of my family story, part of my story. And I didn't have, I like to say, maybe I had kind of a vanilla testimony, if you will, where I was kind of a good girl. You know, I didn't dabble in all the things. But I had this one little issue, and that was I was consumed with my appearance. I was always trying to lose weight. I was always trying to look better. And it wasn't until I was in my late 30s, actually, that I first heard about this concept of idolatry as a modern day issue. I hadn't just never heard, you know, I knew we didn't have any statues. Like, we didn't even have a garden gnome just in case that was an idol. Like, that's how like careful we were on the idol's front. But when I heard about modern day idolatry, God started to reveal to me that, like, I had made my body image an idol, that I had made my fixing my outside, making my appearance look the way I wanted it to look, the way I thought it should look. I had made that an idol. And that idol was really keeping me separated from God in ways that I didn't even know. But as I think about it, you know, there's a quote that I like to mention every time I speak, and it's what a man thinks about in his free time. I'm butchering this quote, Barb. It's what a man thinks about in his solitude is his religion. And that quote convicted me so much because I knew I had spent most of my adult life, my teenage life, thinking about dieting and exercising and how many calories, and all of those things consumed me to the point where they were my religion. And that little box on the bathroom floor was my God. And if that God told me I did well by losing a pound, you know, then I could praise. If that God told me I didn't do well and I gained a pound, you know, then my whole day was ruined and I needed to find some other way to appease my God. And when I put it into that framework, when God showed me that that's what I was doing and that that was idolatry and that was actually like leading me away from him and his purpose for my life, that's when my whole life changed.
Okay, that's interesting. So how do you think you got to the point where it was so important, where the scale and your body image was so important?
You know, I don't like to put blame anywhere, right? Because we're all adults and we're all responsible for our own decisions.
Right.
But it was very important to my mom. And it was very important to my grandmother. My grandmother just recently passed away at 93 years old, and she was still using expensive wrinkle cream. Okay. So this was kind of part of my family history. And then it's not a stretch. I mean, just look at the world we live in, right? Like all of the messages coming at us every day are be beautiful like this so that you will be loved. Be beautiful like this so that you will be valuable. Be beautiful like this so you will be worthy. And so it's not hard for these messages to be internalized and to drive us to places that God never intended for us to go, right? And again, like there's such a fine line, right? Because there's nothing wrong with wanting to be healthy. There's nothing wrong with losing weight. There's nothing wrong with having goals to make your body feel good. Like that's all good. But idolatry is tricky, right? Because idolatry takes good things and turns them into idols. So we can make our family into an idol. We can make our husbands into an idol. We can make our work into an idol. Even, I mean, look at all the ministers that have struggled in this arena where they made their ministry an idol. So to say that something has become an idol doesn't mean that it's a bad thing. It just means that it has the wrong priority in our lives. It has taken a place that only God should have, a throne that only Jesus should be sitting on, and it's sitting on that throne instead.
Okay. So do you think anybody who is listening to this podcast, would they be able to tell if it's an idol?
Yeah, I think there's a test for it. And I think the test actually comes from Matthew 6, which is where Jesus talks about the treasure principle, right? Mm-hmm. So it's where our heart is, where our money is, our heart will follow, right? And so where's your treasure? If what makes you happier than anything else in the whole world is seeing that scale number go down. Again, not that you shouldn't get a little bit of joy from that, right? Like, yeah, right. We celebrate success, of course, right? But if that's what's most important to you, then it may have become your treasure. If all of your time, money, thoughts, all of those things go to weight loss or changing your body, then that may have become your treasure. You know, but again, it's like with money, right? How do you tell if someone's greedy? Well, it's kind of a hard thing to tell, right? But like only the greedy person knows what's going on in their heart, right? But I think the treasure principle is a good test. I like to say if you will never miss your exercise class, but your small group at church or your Sunday school class, like, you know, I might not make it, then maybe there's a misaligned priority, right? Then perhaps you are showing in that one decision of what activity to attend that fitness is more important to you. Prioritizing dieting activities over spiritual activities. Like I'll never miss my morning walk and my morning breakfast, but my time with God, God understands. Well, maybe there's a heart issue there that idol has snuck in and has dominated the throne of your heart.
Okay. That's interesting because with food, like we make food an idol, we always want, I mean, we don't ever want to give up anything, that we want to eat. But this is a flip side of that coin, it seems like, where we don't want to give up the exercise. Do all people who struggle with this idol love to exercise and can make themselves exercise?
No. I'm used, Barb, my audience is mostly women who have taken this idol to the extreme of they're trapped in disordered eating or over-exercising. And so a lot of the women that I talk to have been following this idol for a very long time as their weight has yo-yoed up and down as they go from one diet and one fitness plan to the next diet, next fitness plan, looking for salvation is what I call it, right? Thinking the next diet will save me. The next workout program will save me. And that's where I see the idol most. But no, I don't think you have to love exercise to have this idol as a problem. I mean, it can be the flip side, right? Like there are some cases where I've seen women just be radically committed to not improving themselves in a similar way, right? Where they are worshiping at the throne of, I just don't care. the throne of apathy, right? And so it's, you know, it's very tricky, right? Only we know what's going on in our hearts and where our hearts are bowing, I guess is the way okay. I put it.
That's interesting. Is another sign maybe that you obsess about what type of boundaries you're going to use to lose weight or what type of weight loss plan?
Yeah. So I love the fact that you use boundaries when you talk about these things, right? Because what I see most often is women that are hardcore committed to rules, rules that they will not break, rules that dominate their lives. And so, yes, when I work with a client, or get feedback from women, a lot of times it's that they are stuck following a super long list of food rules to the point of orthorexia or even, you know, even if they haven't gone to that point, just they're so obsessed with the food rules that they will make decisions like, I can't go out to dinner with people because I might break my food rules. There might not be something I can eat there. And so, it's very tricky the way this idol works and manipulates our hearts, right? But the most important thing, I think, and, you know, and for our topic here on this show, talking about how you can, change your body image without losing any weight, right? Like just recognizing that a lot of times our body image issues, well, not even a lot of times, all of the time, this is clinical definition, right? Our body image issues are not about the way our bodies look. Our body image issues are the way we think about our bodies, right? And so not making, and the clients I work with and the women I speak to have made looking a certain way into some sort of destination where they feel like once they arrive at that destination, then their whole life will be different. And I think that is the lure and the lie of idolatry, right? That if you could just get there, oh, think about how wonderful it, if then, right? Just think about how wonderful it would be when you get there. But reality is, right? Life goes on even when you get there, right? And models and actresses that get paid for looking a certain way and staying a certain weight, right? They still struggle with all the other things of life. Right. And so the idol lies to us. And really what I think is just exploring this idolatry thing more. I talk about this in my most recent book, The Burden of Better. But I was thinking, like, why do we compare ourselves to others and try to improve all these different things in our lives? Not just our bodies, but everything, right? You know, gotta update the house. You know, oh, we gotta have a better marriage. We gotta, you know, be better parents or grandparents or, you know, like there's all these different like pressures we feel to make our lives, quote unquote, better. But why do we do it? And I think the underlying reason is that we believe that we'll find rest once we do it, right? If I could just lose the weight, then I will find rest. If I could just get my house just the way I want it, then I will find rest. But it's a false promise, right? Because as you know, there's no rest at the end of a diet, right? Like you have to keep going with your boundaries. Right. You have to be mindful of what you're going to eat. But I think so many of us, myself included, I was the queen of yo-yo dieting, right? But you yo-yo diet because you go on the diet thinking, okay, I'll just lose the weight and then in 6 weeks I'll be able to eat whatever I want. But then what happens? You eat whatever you want and then, oh, now I need another diet. Okay, well, I'll go on this diet and then in 6 weeks. And so back to your original question, I love that you use the word boundaries instead of rules because boundaries implies grace, right? Boundaries are set up for our own good, right? Like, you know, God gives us boundaries for our own well-being, for our own good, right? But rules sometimes dominate our lives in an unhealthy way. There's no grace with rules. You're either good or bad. You're right or wrong. You're in or out. And that's, you know, that's just so different than the grace that Jesus offers us. And so I love the way that you do that when applied to eating.
Yeah. And I was thinking too, you're either skinny or fat.
Right.
So,
right.
And we can be switch over to fat when we gain 1 pound, right. Even though a year ago we were fat when we gained 1 pound at a totally different weight.
Right.
So
right.
It is interesting, that little thing. Well, so you have an idol. How do you get over it? How do you break free from it?
Well, I think recognizing idolatry is like the best news in body image. Okay. So let me explain why. For years, like I said, I was raised in a Christian home. I went to the women's conferences as, you know, a teen and an adult. And so I would go and I would get all filled up with, you know, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made and God looks at the heart and I'm God's masterpiece and me, 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 me. I'm awesome. I'm awesome. I'm awesome. I just need to remember that I'm awesome because God says so. And I would go out into the world like, okay, I'm awesome. God says I'm awesome. And then I would see someone who was more awesome and I would be like, huh, I don't think I like how fearfully and wonderfully God made me. I think I should be more fearfully and wonderfully made like she is. Like, it's not fair, God. Like, this is not a masterpiece. That is a masterpiece. Why does my masterpiece wear a larger size than her masterpiece does? You know, and all of those things. And so I was stuck, right? I was stuck waffling between the, okay, God says I'm awesome. I don't feel awesome. How do I reconcile those two things? Like, do I just chant it to myself over and over again? And so when I found out, when God in his grace revealed to me that this body image thing had been an idol, what it allowed me to do was it allowed me to free myself from trying to hype myself up on using the Bible as a self-esteem manual, right? I'm finally able to see, oh, wait a second here. That idol, it's really making an idol out of myself, right? Why do I want to look hotter? Because I want worship, right? I want people to praise my name. Wow, did you see how good she looks? Oh, wow, did you drop some pounds? You look so good. Oh, bring me the glory. Bring me the praise. Bring me the fame, right? And so when I realized that that's what I was doing in my heart, I don't know if anyone would have ever known I was doing that, Barb, out loud, right?
Right.
But that's what was happening in my heart. And when God convicted me of this idolatry, there's a cure for idolatry. There's a cure for sin, right? You confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Like, we have an avenue out of a sin problem, right? If body image issues are just an issue that every woman's going to have to deal with because she's female, because she craves beauty, she's just going to have to deal with it. Well, then we're stuck, right? Like, oh, ho-hum, I guess I'll just have to deal. But if we can recognize that sometimes there's a sin at the heart of this, then there's a path out and a path to freedom. I'm not saying that as soon as you pray that prayer of confession and repentance that, you know, things just change overnight and suddenly you don't care the number on the scale anymore and you're totally free. No, there's a lot of retraining of our mind and our thinking and taking thoughts captive and all kinds of those things that has to go on too. But that's the first step.
So recognize you have an idol, confess your sin, confess that you're right. Trying to make yourself be, you know, on top, right? Or whatever.
Yeah.
And then what do you do next?
Then you have to start practically living what you believe, right? And so I think it's easy. I love to use this illustration of for moms, right? A mom of a daughter, right? Like, when you see your daughter struggle with the way she looks, you say things to her like, oh, you know, I think you're beautiful. Oh, right. Honey, you know, it's what's on the inside that counts, but you know, I think you're beautiful, right? And does it help her? Not really, right? I mean, honestly, it never helped me, right? They're like, yeah, you're my mom. You have to say that, right? So what would it look like to actually, you know, God says all these things about us, right? God tells us where our value comes from. In fact, like I took marketing classes in college and one of the first things we learn in marketing 101 is valuation, right? And so how do you know what the value of something is? You know what the value of something is based on what someone is willing to pay for it,
wow.
Right? So what is our value? What was Jesus willing to pay? Everything, right? So the scriptures tell us about this, you know, enormous value that we have, right? This unfathomable value that we have, right? We're made in God's image, right? We are his masterpieces. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. But we have to be willing to lay all that down in submission to him, right? We have to be willing to say, okay, God, you've made me a masterpiece. What would you like me to do with it? Right? Like, what is my purpose? And so I feel like in all of that, right, there's going to be these messages that come at us every day that are going to distract us from that purpose. They're going to distract us from God's truth, right? So maybe it's the message when you get on your scale or look in your mirror and it's like, oh, can't believe it. You're so lazy, right? There's common things that the enemy is not creative, right? He uses the same lines on all of us. There's a lot of lines that I heard as a kid that I share in my books and that I have women tell me over and over again. Oh, I've heard that same line. Yep, that's the same line he uses on me. So he tells us we're lazy, we're unsuccessful, we're not worth anything, we're never going to change, right? All these same lines. No one's going to like you because look at you. And we have to replace, we have to take those thoughts captive, right? The scripture tells us take those thoughts captive in obedience to Christ, and we have to replace them with the truth about us. And then we have to get busy. And realize that my biggest purpose on this earth is not to look good. My biggest purpose on this earth is not to even have a healthy body, right? It's great to have a healthy body, but that's not my biggest purpose. My biggest purpose is God has something for me to do. And what I found is when we can figure out what that thing to do is, that helps us with all those thoughts, the barrage of thoughts. It helps us kind of naturally get our minds busy onto God's purpose and defeat that barrage of negative thoughts that are coming at us every day.
Right. When you think of what God wants us to do, I mean, He actually already told us in the Bible, love God and love others.
Right.
So there might be other little jobs, but do you think you have to wait for some big revelation to find some calling? Or
no, absolutely.
In general terms, as far as what God wants us to do.
In general terms, right? And so actually, I'm glad that you mentioned that Matthew verse, like to love God and love others. I feel like so much of what we hear in culture is that we have to love our bodies. Right? You just have to love your body. And until you get to the place where you love your body, you won't be free. And I just think that's absolute poppycock, right? Like, it's just, I am freer than I've ever been. But do I love my body? I don't know. I mean, I appreciate my body. I care for my body. I'm glad that my body does what it's supposed to do most days, right? Like definite, but if I spend more time trying to love my cellulite than I do loving my neighbor, things are out of whack, right? But to your point, if I wake up in the morning and focus on loving God and commit my day to Him, right? And then see how can I love those around me? How can I serve those around me well by just even, you know, I'm not mean hardcore service. Maybe that's what some are called to, but just listening to someone is serving them well a lot of times, right? Mm-hmm. But when you get your mind off of yourself and onto those two big commandments, love God, love others, that's when you feel free. You feel lighter and you can really rejoice in your purpose as His creation, right? Like I'm here to worship you. I'm here to serve you. And one exercise I like to do when I speak to women is I take a mirror. So your listeners are going to have to picture this, but picture, you can, if you're not driving, you can hold your hand in front of your face, just like flat palm. And picture that as a mirror. Well, so a lot of what we're told in the body image world is that we need to just stare into this mirror long and hard until we love what we see, right? And if you don't love what you see, you either have to just change your mind, just determine, just, you know, will yourself to love it, or you have to change it, right? You need to get surgery, or you need to get new cosmetics, or you need to do something to change it so that you can love what you see, right? But that to me is a very pagan way of handling our body image issues, right? Because what we are called to do, so now take your flat palm hand and I want you to just tilt your wrist up towards the sky. That's what we're supposed to be doing with our mirrors. We're supposed to be tilting them towards heaven because our real job here on this earth is to reflect God, right? That is the Imago Dei. We're made in His image to reflect Him, to bring more glory, praise, worship to Him, not to ourselves. I mean, you often hear that verse that we are the temple, you know, we're God's temple. I've heard that used to like justify like, well, we need to be the hottest temples we can be, right? Like, like it's your responsibility to be a good looking temple to bring other people to Christ. Like you need to weigh the right amount and look the part to be a hot temple. But if you think about the temple, right, you don't worship the temple, right? The temple is used for worship, right? The temple is used for the worship of God, right? And so I think when that verse is, it's just one common way that we kind of twist this into being about us. And if we can tilt those mirrors up and go back to remembering that our job here is just to reflect Him, bring glory to Him, tilt the mirror up, then the pressure's off, right? Because then I don't have to make the mirror happy. I don't have to make the scale happy, right? I just have to make Jesus happy.
Right.
And He gives us grace in that.
Yeah. And I was thinking too, you know, if our one of our goals is to reflect him well, we'll actually be able to reach that goal better by working more on our insides, our character, right, than on our outsides. It's usually it's our insides that make him not look so great.
Right.
So, you know, like, right, you know, being angry with somebody or something like that.
Right. Well, and just, and I mean, we know this, right? Like when you get healthy on the inside, it makes you do different things. It propels you to look different on the outside. I'm not doing a very good job of explaining that, but I can just think of so many different examples where you can picture someone who maybe on the outside looks like they are healthy because of their weight or their skin or whatever, but on the inside, you know that they're a mess. Right. And we have to stop defining health simply by what someone looks like on the outside. Like we are complete creatures, mind, soul, body. It's all one package. Right. And so to be healthy just on the outside at the expense of our insides is serving that idol and ultimately not going to last. I mean, I think about that show, Biggest Loser. I used to love watching that show, and I feel like when I talk about this show, I talk about it as a salvation story, right? Because I really think that it shows us a cultural salvation story. You start off where, you know, you're just miserable in the body that you're in. And then you go to the Biggest Loser ranch and you meet, it used to be Bob and Jillian, right? But they were the saviors, right? Because what does a savior do? A savior transforms you. So Bob or Jillian would take you from your current hell, right? You're uncomfortable in your body. They take you from hell. They transform you. And then on the other side, you're wearing cute clothes and running marathons, which is the American dream, right? That's heaven to right, so many Americans, right? But it shows us a salvation story. So someone going from hell, meeting a savior, and then ending up on the other side in a place of a place that's just wonderful, right? But if you think about that show, it's really interesting how Bob and Jillian a lot of times would engage the contestants on heart issues. Mm-hmm. Like they talk about forgiveness. They talk about, like, you know, even like horrible things that they'd experienced, like abuse or other issues, right? But they would go there because even Bob and Jillian, I don't think either of them are Christians, right? But even Bob and Jillian realized that if I only help change your body during this, you know, 8-week period or however long it was, and we don't work on what's going on in the inside, you're going to go right back to where you were. Right. The change cannot be permanent unless it's changed from the inside out. And if you look at what happened with a lot of the Biggest Loser contestants, they've gone back to the size they were originally. There's very few of them who have been able to keep the weight off because, candidly, I don't believe that Bob and Jillian had the tools to do the hard work that needed to be done because they didn't have Jesus. Right. So I don't remember what your question was anymore, Barb. Somewhere in there.
No, I think you did. I do have one question, I guess. So what does this look like in a practical level? So mm-hmm. let's say I am maybe at my highest weight ever, and I have mm-hmm. to go to a high school reunion, and right. I'm just feeling so embarrassed about my body.
Right.
So what could I do before I went to that reunion to prepare myself to not worry about it, to be at peace, even at the right. current weight I am?
Right. So I think that that's where grace comes in, right? I think most of us, especially women that have struggled with insecurity at any level, right? Like just not wondering if we're good enough, right? I feel like we have a hard time understanding grace because we tend to see things as black and white, failure, success. And so in that economy, we tend to see, okay, I weigh more now, that's failure. Right. And so I think we have to take a grace-filled approach to looking at our own lives. I think one thing that's helpful, at least as I look back at my up and down with the scale and the weight, is recognizing that though I totally understand wanting to lose weight for a particular event, wanting to look good for a particular event. Like I've done that, been there. But life is bigger than that, right? And so I think we have to give ourselves grace to be the tortoise in the tortoise and the hare, right? Like it's okay to just be on your way. Mm-hmm. Yes, you're going to see people. But it's okay if you haven't arrived to where you want to be yet. And quite frankly, it may not even be possible for you to get to where you want to be before you see people. So, you know, it there's always that dilemma, right? Where then it's like, well, do I not even go? You know, and then think about what you're missing out on, right? But I think that the most important thing is to be able to give yourself grace that you're on a journey, right? And it's okay that you haven't reached that weight loss destination yet. You still have something to offer more than being a body of a certain size. In fact, being a body of a certain size is the least important thing you have to offer other people, right? There is absolutely amazing ways that you can minister to other people, that you can love other people, that you can reconnect with other people without being a body of a certain size. Right. So I think too often what we do is we objectify ourselves, right? We see ourselves as flat. Like I'm this weight, I'm this size, right? But you are so much more than being just this weight or just this size, right? You have so much more to offer the world than just that. So I would just spend lots of time. I think worship is the antidote for comparison. Right? To spend time worshiping God, remembering that we are just here to reflect Him. And if you have to reflect Him in a larger body than you prefer, that's okay. He's big enough to still be reflected. He's okay with it. He still loves you. He's still happy to have you bearing His name and sharing His love. He's not mad at you. He gives you grace for the journey you're on. And so just go and radiate Him. And that takes the pressure off of you wearing a certain size or weighing in before the big day. At a certain number.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, the only options God has as far as reflecting His glory is imperfect people.
Absolutely.
Perfect.
Right. Right. And then who's defining perfect, right? Like it's this man-made definition of perfect, right? Because we do not have an ideal weight in the Bible, right? There's not right. one. Right? So any way that you try to define someone as perfect is a man-made construct. Right? You are adding to scripture, right? All scripture says is we are the imago Dei. Right? We are His masterpiece, we are made in His image. There is not a specific goal weight associated with that. God did not create the BMI chart. Right. So,
well, I'm thinking even on a spiritual level. I mean, we're all created sinners. Nobody's perfect. Right. And so, right. Yeah. We're going to, at the party, we're going to see other imperfect people.
Absolutely.
Who might also be thinking, oh, I'm not good enough or
right, right.
whatever. Well, good. Absolutely. I think you've just given us so much to think about. Do you have any last words of advice for somebody who's listening and they're thinking, okay, I definitely have an idol mm-hmm. of appearance. I wonder what I should do after this podcast over. How should I work on that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have a lot of good stuff in my books. is that too self-promoting? I'm not trying to sound that way, but I mean, it's a journey that I've walked. Is getting rid of this idol. I offer coaching on this front as well. But I just encourage you, if you see that idol today, take care of it, right? Do the confession and repentance part right away, like right after this episode. Don't sit with it any longer. See it as sin. And then I think once you've done that, then you're freer to I have a course that I offer called Refocus through my website. It's an e-course. But one thing that we train women to do in that is just to listen for those lies, because most of us are lied to all day long. We have 6,200 thoughts a day. 80% of them are negative. 95% of them are recycled. So most of us have been hearing these same recycled lies about our worth since for some middle school, some even earlier, right? So starting to identify the lies, recognize that just because you think it doesn't mean it's true, right? And replace it with the truth of scripture, right? I firmly believe, Barb, in if we get in the word, if we get as serious about chasing God as we do about chasing a number on the scale, whew, that changes our lives, right? If you're chasing hard after Him, it's amazing how, I'm not saying we're not still going to look at the number, or look in the mirror and be like, I'm totally free, right? You're fighting a temptation to judge your value on that every single day, every single hour of every day. So I get that, right? It's temptation. But when you're in the Word, when you're hearing how, reading how He defines you, how He sees you, how He loves you, that just frees you in so many other areas, right? It frees you from the temptation to chase these other things. And I think that's that's really the beauty of identifying the idol and finding freedom after you've done that.
That's great. And I'll include links to all of Heather's resources in the show notes for this episode. Because Heather, this is Heather's platform. This is what she talks about. Body image, she's a Christian, and she has Christian resources. So she's your go-to girl if you guys struggle with this. So I hope you'll check out her resources. I'm glad you mentioned coaching. I was wondering about that because you had mentioned it during the podcast. I was going to remember to ask you about that. So you coach individuals or just these courses?
No, I do group coaching and individual coaching. I do a small groups of four women where we meet online virtually, or I do one-on-one coaching too. But it's been a tremendous experience. And, I think even in the group coaching setting, it just reminds me personally that, again, the enemy's not creative. He's given these same lies to all of us. And so for most of us, right, we believe that we're the only ones, right? We look out at the world and we're like, no one else struggles like I do. I'm the only one who feels this way. And so in the group setting, it's really neat to see women recognize, oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, huh. I guess she struggles like I do, and she struggles like I do, and I am not alone. And there's just something so valuable to that really helps free us.
Right. That's great. Okay. Well, thanks so much for being on the podcast, Heather. It was great having you.
My pleasure, Barb. Great to talk to you.
And thank you, everybody else, for coming along with us and listening in. I hope you guys have a great week following God and following your boundaries, and I'll talk to you next time.